Shall we pray? And Heavenly Father, indeed, 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 that is our prayer. Have thine own way. Oh, Father, break each one of us afresh, that we might be entirely obedient to thy perfect will. Oh, Father, isn't it wonderful as we contemplate that thy word is thy word. It is a perfect word. We don't trust the statements of men at all, but we trust thy word. We know that thou wilt never lead us astray if we continue to trust thy word. And, oh, Father, we pray, therefore, that increasingly thou wilt get, that thy Holy Spirit will lead us into the truth of thy word, and that thou wilt lay it upon our hearts as thou dost work in us to will and to do of thy good pleasure, that we will indeed do thy way. O Lord, any impediments of pride, any impediments of fears or whatever will take them away, and O Father, just help us to rest in thee. Father, we're so grateful that thou art in charge, that everything in thy word is thy program, and we don't have to be fearful as long as we keep trusting thy word. Father, we ask that thy blessing upon this final meeting, and may it be to thy praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to speak a little bit about what God is doing through Family Radio, but as an introduction to that, I want to say a few things about Acts chapter 28. But before I even do that, I want to give you one more verse that I hope that all of us will take into very serious consideration. Please look again at Luke 21. Please look again at Luke 21. This, I'm finding more and more, is the linchpin or the fulcrum that is helping us to see where we are and what is going on. Look at verse 20. Look at verse 20. I'm only going to read this, and then you take this home with you, and you study it. But notice what it says. When ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. And then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter therein. Now you notice in verse 20, it does not say, when you shall experience that Jerusalem is surrounded by the armies. Jerusalem here is the whole corporate body, the congregations, the institution of the church. It says, this is God's word, when ye shall see Jerusalem surrounded by armies. In other words, God is not saying, wait until you find it has entered into your own congregation. He's saying, when you see that Jerusalem, the whole corporate body, is surrounded by armies, then he tells us what action we are to take. So please consider that also. We all have to consider that as we are puzzling over this whole thing that we are talking about. Now let's go back to Acts chapter 28, and I'm just going to comment about the first two or three verses for a few minutes before I'll introduce us right into what's happening in Family Radio. First of all, and the barbarian people showed us no little kindness. I want to very, very quickly go over that verse, because that's a very, very poor translation of that verse. And the reason it's a poor translation is because unless the translators saw the meaning what God is putting in here, they wouldn't know why it would make any sense. First of all, the barbarians, by definition, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 11, there God defines barbarians. 14, verse 11, therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. In other words, God is defining a barbarian as someone who does not know the meaning of what is being spoken. In historical setting, it simply meant someone who didn't understand Greek or Hebrew or Latin, which were the languages of that day, and spoke some other foreign language. But in the spiritual meaning here, as Paul here is going to be ministering to the barbarians, it is those who do not know the meaning. It's just like we today are sending the gospel out into the world to all kinds of people who haven't the slightest idea about the Bible or the meaning of it, but as they hear the word, God will give them the meaning. And then the characteristic of these barbarians, it says here, they showed us no little kindness. Now that is not what God is teaching here. They showed us, it's okay, they showed us, but no should be translated not, and little should be translated having obtained. And you look at your concordance when you get home and you'll find the verses that back that up. They have not having obtained, and the word kindness is a word philoanthropo, love of man. Love of man. I just want to turn to one verse in connection with that word kindness, and that is the verse, let's see, I made a little note here, Titus chapter 3 verse 4. Titus chapter 3 verse 4. This is this will help us understand what's going on here. Titus chapter 3 verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love toward man of God our Savior. The phrase love toward man is the word that is used here in the book of Acts. It is, of course, the love of God, our Savior, toward man. Now these people, these barbarians who did not know the meaning of the word, they are for the first time going to hear the gospel. They have not obtained the love of God toward man, because they have not obtained salvation yet. This is what God is teaching. And that is why they kindle the fire, and the fire that is kindled is the fact that they're under the wrath of God. The fact that we are in unsaved means that there is a fire kindled, the wrath of God, and that fire is kindled is because we have not surrendered to God. We're in rebellion against God. And that's really the spiritual teaching of that particular verse. But now when Paul is ministering, and we read this strange statement, when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth him not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while, and so no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. All right, now here Paul, and again I'm not going to develop this very much, but the bundle of sticks, actually the word bundle is multitude, and the sticks have to do with people, the multitude of people that are being laid on the fire. And you know, when we bring the gospel, we are laying people on the fire. That is, we are identifying them with the judgment that Christ endured, because until we're saved, we have to be redeemed through fire. We have been saved as if through fire. We have to come in contact with fire. But it's not on we are dealt personally, but Christ on our behalf. And so as he is gathering, and the word gather is a Greek word that means that turns together. Look at it up in your concordance later. And so Paul is already is emphasizing that Paul here representing those who are escaped into the care and keeping of the Roman Empire, just as Daniel escaped and became under the care and keeping of the Babylonians, just as we are beginning to see more and more, are to escape from being under the care and keeping of Jerusalem, of the corporate body. But the task of sending the gospel out continues as we minister to the barbarians of the world, those who have no meaning or understanding of the Word of God. And we lay them on the fire, that is, we bring them in contact with the judgment that Christ endured, so that God can save the elect. Now, in that setting, here comes this poisonous viper. And we know from the context, this was a very, very deadly beast, a very deadly snake. Because the villagers are familiar with it, and they're watching him. First of all, the first couple of minutes, why doesn't he fall down dead? It's a poisonous viper that's grabbed him on his arm. And then they're watching and watching. He doesn't die. And they watch, and his arm isn't even swelling up at all. That viper hasn't touched him at all. And then he falls, just shake it off into the fire. And they are absolutely appalled at this. And they think that somehow this has to be of God. They think he is a God. And they're on the right track, of course, because he is part of the body of Christ. And in that sense, he is identified altogether with God. But look at the language that God uses here. This is God's language now as he writes about this. And when the verse 4, and when the barbarian saw the beast hang, beast. Now, have you ever called a snake a beast? Which if someone is bitten by a rattlesnake, do you normally say, oh, that beast did that? No, we say that snake did that. At least we would say the serpent. But God chose the word beast. And here again we find that doubling, you know. And when the barbarians saw the beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer. And then in verse 5, and he shook off the beast into the fire. God is making sure we understand that he's using the word beast. Now you take your concordance and you look in it, and you'll find everywhere in the book of Revelation where it talks about the beast coming out of the sea, or the beast this, or the beast that, or the beast that. It's always talking about Satan, and here God is using exactly the same word, so there's no misunderstanding in our minds. This viper, this beast, is a picture of Satan himself. As a matter of fact, the word viper also identifies with Satan. Remember that Jesus spoke of the Pharisees. Generation of vipers. Oh, generation of vipers. For ye of your father the devil. Now, here we have something fantastic. Something fantastic. You see, as long as Paul was in the ship, what was Satan's relationship to the ship? That ship was under the iron-fisted grip of Satan's power. It was blowing all over the sea, and it had no control in itself, and finally that ship was wrecked. Satan had won. Satan had won. He had he had assaulted the saints and he had overcome them. But now we come to the last chapter, and here we find that those who have come out of the ship, they're no longer related to the ship, and now they are beginning to minister to the barbarous people of the world, those who do not know the meaning of the gospel. Those, oh my, you know, again and again, as we are broadcasting family radio, I'm conscious of the statement that the last shall be first and the first shall be last. In the United States, we have listeners to family radio, and we have followers, certainly we do, but in many foreign countries, we find that there's a listenership that is way beyond anything that we have here, because they are the last ones. We're like the first ones. We've had the gospel for 200 years. We have churches on every corner. You can go into any bookstore and buy a Bible, and we can turn the radio and hear something about the Christian gospel in some way on many, many different stations. You can't hear that in Turkey. You can't hear that in other countries. And they have not had the gospel, and they are the last. And these barbarian people are typical of those who are the last. Now they are hearing the gospel. But what about Satan? Now he's been loosed. Remember, he was loosed. And you would think, well, okay, he's been loosed, and then he's going to come into judgment. But in the meanwhile, we're trying to bring the gospel. Is he going to harass us? Is he going to continue to do his deadly work like he was doing on the ship? And here God is assuring us, no way, no way, no way. As you are doing the work of getting the gospel outside of the church, Satan cannot touch you. He cannot harm you. Oh my, it's taken all the stress out of life. I look at the experience of the family radio, and I used to be in the construction business, and I used to, I worked hard, and I was very aggressive getting jobs and so on, because it was my business, and it was a joy to me to do. But for example, I would be working with 10 different projects. Our task was to go to an owner who was ready to build a new little plant somewhere, or a new cold storage building, or a church that was going to build a church, or whatever it was, and a little shopping center maybe, and then we would help them design it and try to work out the most economical way to build it, and help them get financing on it, and we just took the whole package. We had a design department as well as a construction department, and typically I would see that maybe we would have 10 projects developing, 10 projects developing, and they all looked probable, they all looked possible, every one of them, and yet by experience I knew if one of them came to realization, we've done very well. Because this one would fall away for this reason, they couldn't get financing, this one would fall away for another reason, that one another, and again, they just didn't come to pass. But if we got one, we were able to continue our business and continue to develop. But you know, in family radio, it's been like a piece of cake, because every time we start working on something, somehow it comes to fruition. My, I remember years ago when we were first broadcast. Well, let's begin it, or even ahead of that. We were broadcasting domestically and began the thinking, someday we'd like to somehow broadcast to the other nations of the world. And we had no experience. We had no shortwave facilities or anyone. And then we heard that there was one for sale. Because the Bonneville, which is a Mormon corporation, owned a facility up in Scituate, consisted of 4 transmitters and some aged antennas, and they broadcast by shortwave, and so we began to negotiate to buy that. And it took several years because we had to work through some things with the rules at the FCC and so on. But it came to realization. It came to realization. It's that once we started seriously to work on it, it came to realization. And immediately after that, we wanted to move it out of Scituate because there were so many houses around and you get that high power transmitters. I was in my the manager's home, who lived about a mile and a half from the place and the antennas, and I picked up the phone and I heard a Spanish programming on our phone because just the intensity of the electromagnetic signal just bothered everybody all around. We had to get out, so I went down to Florida. And I started looking around. This we first of all looked over the map to find out is there a place where it would be best. And Florida was ideal. It's flat and it's closest to South America, and from there you can reach North America. It's on the eastern seaboard, so it can reach over to Europe. It was the ideal place. And so I met a broker there, and we started driving around and got out into the rangelands of Central Florida. And I thought, my, this is the place. This is the place. And finally, we looked at one area, and I said, you know who the owner of this is? And yes, he knew who the owner was. Lo and behold, he was a Christian. Lo and behold, he was a Christian. And so... well, now we needed a lot of land, like a square mile. That's a big piece of land. In fact, it was 660 acres, which is slightly over a square mile, because we wanted to build a central transmission building and then have a whole ring of antennas all around it. And it would take a lot of land. But, you know, to buy a square mile of land, that would cost a lot of money. We didn't have that kind of money. Even to rent or lease a whole square mile would take a lot of money. But I came up with an idea. I thought, you know, the fact is, we're going to need a couple of acres to build our transmission building on. That's a pretty big building with 14 transmitters in it. It was the way it ended. But the antennas themselves, they're just some poles in the ground, some big tall poles that are a couple hundred feet high, and you have some guy wires, and around each tower base we'd put a little fence so that you'd have maybe a 15 square foot area that was fenced off, and around each where each guy wire came down, we'd put a little fence. And so I went to this owner who was a Christian. I said, You know, we'd like to use your land for a transmission facility, but at the same time, you're using it for rangeland. He has longhorn cattle and all. He's a cattle raiser. And I said, we only need a little bit of your land, but it's going to be broken up into a whole lot of little pieces. And would you allow us to rent only the land that we use? Well, because you can still have your cows and your longhorns ranging out there on the land. So we calculated how much land we'd actually use. I think it was about 3 acres out of 660 acres. Only it was broken up in little tiny pieces all over. And we worked out a lease arrangement based on 3 acres, not based on 660 acres. So it became very, very economical. He had a cash crop that he didn't have before. He was not deprived of any range land. And he had the satisfaction of knowing that he, too, was using his wherewithal to send the gospel out. So it was a mutually attractive arrangement, a very attractive arrangement. But I thought at the time, every step of the way, God brought it to fruition. Every step of the way. I never had that kind of success in my construction business. Never, never, never. Well, at the same time, after we began to, about that time, I kept looking at the map. And I kept looking at mainland China. And right alongside mainland China was the island of Formosa. It used to be called. It's now called Taiwan. It's now called Taiwan. And I thought, wow, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could ever broadcast into mainland China? And Taiwan was absolutely ideal because it lay just 100 miles away from mainland China, and from there a signal could be directed and to cover all of mainland China. And I still remember thinking, wow, if we could only own a piece of land there and build something there. Well, finally, I kept praying about that and thinking about that. I said, well, maybe we could try something. We had some extra transmission space, that is, some hours that we weren't using, because we had built a ring of 22 antennas and 14 transmitters, and we really had built a fairly large facility. And we knew that Korea and Japan and China all were concerned about getting their kind of broadcasting into North and South America, particularly America, because they like to influence their people and our government and so on. But they're 10,000 miles away. They're on the other side of the world. And we, at the same time, were very interested in trying to get into Asia, mainly mainland China. Now, one way that this was accomplished was by building a very powerful FM station, maybe with 500 or more kilowatts, and then trying to get there. But, you know, a shortwave signal, it goes up and it hits the ionosphere, which is an electrical magnetic layer up in the sky, and then it comes down again and hits the ocean or the land, wherever it lands, and some of it's absorbed up here, some of it is absorbed in the ocean or the land, wherever it lands, then it goes up again and comes down again, up again, comes down again, but each hop, it gets weaker and weaker, and so in order to get any kind of a reasonable signal into Asia, it would take an enormously big transmitter. And I'll tell you, electric, they absorb a lot of electric. I mean, our electric bill in Okeechobee is like $75,000 a month, each and every month. And there we only have 14, we have 12 100 kilowatt transmitters and 250 kilowatt. Well, if we had 14 500 kilowatt, our electric bill would be $300,000 a month. I mean, it would just be astronomical. So I wrote a letter. I wrote a letter to the head of the broadcast division of Japan and Korea and Taiwan. And I said, you know, I'd like to make a proposal to you, or at least suggest an idea. I know it's never been done for a private company. You are the government, a foreign government, and we have no idea whether the FCC will like this or not, but we would like to make a proposal to you. We have spare transmission time. We would like to broadcast into Asia. You would like to broadcast into North America. Could we work out a trade where we will use some of your excess capacity in order to get into Asia, and you use our excess capacity to get into North and South America? You can maintain control of what we would broadcast. So if you hear something that you would be upset about, you could take it off, and we will have to reserve the right that when we broadcast what you give us, obviously could not be political propaganda, it would have to be cultural programming of some kind, and we would have to have the right, according to the FCC rules, to take off what we would feel would be offensive. Well, I wrote these letters, I sent them to these three countries, and a couple of weeks went by, and I didn't hear a thing. And then I called Taiwan, because that was the ideal. That was the ideal. And after getting through some Chinese way, and the conversation, I didn't hear. Finally, I said, I asked for the man who I had written to. And wonderfully, he spoke English. He spoke English there. Already God has opened the door. He spoke English. And I said, did you get my letter? He says, yeah, I got your letter. I says, what do you think? He says, it's an idea, but we're not interested at this time at all. I said, well, you know, could I come to Taiwan and talk to you about it? And he says, oh, it's fine. Come on to Taiwan and talk about it. Taiwan's a beautiful country, and we can show you the country, and by all means, he wanted to be hospitable. Well, okay. 3 weeks later, I was there. I got a visa as fast as possible, and I was there. To make a long story short, I spent 4 days with him and with his staff, and I came out from there. This was in 1980, and we worked out a rough possibility of how we could make a trade. He says, of course, I have to get approval from our government. It happened to be that the president and I came out from there. This was in 1980, He says, of course, I have to get approval from our government. It happened to be that the president of the arm of the government we were working with was the son-in-law of Chiang Kai-shek. He was a very devout Buddhist, but he and the man I was talking to was very close to him, and he was a total unbeliever. We were not talking to Christians at all, I was talking to someone who was very high in government, very high in government. So I knew he could get an approval pretty rapidly. Of course, I said, well, you know, I have to get approval too from our board of directors before we can do something. I didn't tell him I could get that approval in 5 minutes. Because this was such an outstanding possibility. Well, I keep on walking on cloud nine. I'll tell you, I was so happy. I was so happy. I thought, just think, maybe in a couple of years, we'll be broadcasting from Taiwan by shortwave radio all over mainland China. It looks like God is opening a door. Well, only 3 months went by. We got to the, and immediately when I got back, I began to think, boy, we better start getting some programs translated into Chinese. We hadn't been broadcasting any Chinese, and again, God opened the door. There was a couple that were born and raised in Shanghai, and they had become Christians as they were listening to Far East Broadcasting. I was able still to get some kind of signal in, and they finally got out of China, and this was back in 1978 or something, which was rather unusual that they could even get out of mainland China, but they lived in Los Angeles, and they had been working for another broadcast outfit and were a little bit disenchanted, and somehow we got in touch with them. I don't even remember the detail. I don't remember the detail at all. And lo and behold, when we talked together, they said, you know, we like what you are doing way better than what we are doing. Can we work for you? And the next thing, they were translating like crazy, all right, at the very beginning. Where did they come from? God was opening doors. Satan could not stop it. Well, I had gone to Taiwan in August. About the first week in December, I got a call from my friend in Taiwan, Mr. P.P. Tong. He said, are you ready to go? I said, go where? He said, are you ready to begin broadcasting? We want to start the 1st of January. Only 3 months, and I thought it was 2 years down the way. I said, no, but we will be ready. And on Christmas Day, we sent our first Chinese tape over to Taiwan, which began to broadcast into mainland China. And again, Satan could not stop it. Everything just opened up. And this has been the story of Family Radio. I'm absolutely in awe at the way God is doing. I think, for example, I go to Taiwan. I go to Taiwan every two or three months because of all the activities we have with them, and most of the time I travel alone. I'll be going in a few weeks, and I'll be going with a couple of engineers because we got another project we're working on over there. But I go there and they treat me better than they treat me in Oakland, I'll tell you. I'm telling you, it's beyond my thinking. I mean, they're so respectful and so loving, those Taiwan people. This is the government. These are government people now. Most, one or two of them might be Christians, but most of them have no relationship with the gospel at all. And yet I come there and they wine and dine me, so to speak, and treat me with utmost respect. Practically anything I ask for, they're ready to give. And I just have the highest love and consideration and opinion of these dear people. And of course, we make it mutual. We are very careful in our 20 years of dealing with them that we're always operating with total integrity, always thinking of the best interest for them. And they, by the same token, are treating us with tremendous integrity, always ready to do what is best for us. Two or three years ago when I was there, we had not been broadcasting by AM radio. We've been broadcasting for 20 years by shortwave all over mainland China, and I was thinking, my, if only we could go by AM radio. And so I said to them, would you mind if I could see all of your sites? And they have about 12 sites where they have an awful lot of transmission facilities, and some of them are very large. Some of them are 600 kilowatts. There's one that's 1,200,000 kilowatts. The biggest one in the United States is 50 kilowatts. That's an AM. And I said, could I see all of your sites? Oh, sure. And so they had a couple of people accompany me, and I spent a few days there, and I looked at every site. And I said, you know, do you think that we could have maybe 3 hours at such and such a time on this, from this facility, the one I thought would be best, to broadcast by AM our gospel programming into China? Yeah, we think we could do that. We'll work that out with you. Just like that. And there we were. Well, then, you give them a little finger, bless the whole hand. I looked at another one and I said, well, you know, this site here was right on the ocean. It was a wonderful site. I said, you know, if I came up with a plan where we could build a facility here to go full-time with 300 kilowatts into mainland China, would you allow us to take down one of your antennas and replace it with ours? Now, that's asking for the sun, moon, and stars. They said, yes, you may do that. So we got busy designing, and the next thing, we built a facility that broadcasts by 300 kilowatts, 24 hours a day, by AM broadcasting, directional antenna, all over mainland China. Satan cannot stop it. Satan cannot stop it. But on the other side of the coin, there's mainland China. Now, you know, there's been a long cold war between Taiwan and mainland China. All you have to do is read the newspaper and you read about it. Now, during the last 3 years, Taiwan is trying to lower the temperature of that, or maybe raise it, however you want to put it. In other words, neutralize this tension as best they can. They're trying to clean up their programming so it isn't quite as offensive, but actually every one of their shortwave facilities, almost every, as near as we could tell, and we've been in China, and I've sent engineers into China to monitor, and they're jammed. The Chinese government just doesn't want their kind of program. and neither do they want people to monkey or to get involved in their churches or their what their churches believe. And so the question was, if we begin to broadcast the gospel into China, will they jam us? They're experts at jamming. Well, we had already learned from 1981 when we began until 2 or 3 years ago when we broadcast by shortwave, they never jammed us. They never jammed us, even though they jammed most of the other frequencies that the Taiwan government used. They never jammed our frequency. And in the meanwhile, we've been making friends with mainland China. We're close enough friends, so just to give you one little illustration. And I tell the officials in Taiwan about this. I want them to know that we're working on both sides of the story, because this helps to bring, in a tiny, tiny way, it helps to bring a little more peace between the two nations. And the Taiwan officials really desire this. And so we're also making our tiny contribution. But we have invited their officials, their highest officials, to visit with us. And we've taken them out to dinner. And I have been with some of us, our people in Beijing, and have gone out to dinner with them just this last few months ago. Chief counsel, or the chief, consul general, who has the rank of an ambassador. So he's a very high level Chinese, and we invited him to visit our facility. He came with his wife and a couple of others of his lieutenant, and they came and they went all through, and I thought, well, our little facility, if you've ever seen it, looks like a tire shop along the road, because we make no pretenses. I always kid people, when you come here, look at our marble colonnades and our purple fountains, if you can find them. Of course, they don't exist, because we don't spend any money on the building. We spend all the money on the equipment. And anyway, they came. And then we took them out to lunch, and we had a real nice time together. And lo and behold, 2 weeks later, we got an invitation from the consul general. Could you and your wife, and this one and that one, there were about five of us, would you be willing to have dinner with us in the consulate? And so we were dinner guests at the consul of the consul general in San Francisco. Now that's a very unusual thing, because we're a nothing. We're just a little religious organization, and yet we have that kind of rapport with the government of mainland China. And we know from our own experience with them, and from what we learned from them, that everything that is said, everything in these meetings, everything that is talked about is all reported back to Beijing. In other words, Beijing knows all about us. They know where we live. They know everything about us. And obviously, they can listen to all of our programming. And yet they have never jammed us out of love. We're broadcasting by AM radio. They have not jammed us at all. Now, this passage in Acts 28, you see the viper, the beast, Satan. He cannot harm. He got hold of Paul's hand. Paul is a representative of all of us who are in this latter rain or bringing the gospel, and we cannot be harmed. You know, I've been thinking an awful lot about what we've been talking about here this week, And people have said, well, where do you get your income? Isn't this going to affect your income? Or what about this? What about that? I can tell you honestly, I'm absolutely at peace. I'm not worried about anything. I have no stress about this. All I know is we're going to do it God's way. We're going to do it God's way. And God has cared for us, and He'll continue to care for us. there's nothing to be stressed about. There's nothing to be troubled about. Just find God's will and do it God's way, and you can't miss. And that's been our experience in Family Radio. Just recently, we heard of some spare transmitters in Germany. Now, we broadcast to Africa from Okeechobee, but it's a long haul. And so Africa is not reached that well from Okeechobee, but we still have a lot of listeners. There are a lot of listeners. We have an enormous number of people there who are part of Family Radio School of the Bible. But we heard of some spare transmitters in Germany, 100 kilowatts, that were able to reach a very good signal all over Africa, all over Africa, way better than our signal from Okeechobee. And we entered into a negotiation with them, and in a very short time, we were able to send three signals that used three different transmitters, or three different antennas, different frequencies, and each one is broadcasting prime time. One 3 hours, the second one 3 hours, all prime time in Africa, and one 2 hours. So now our signal, just in the last year, has been enhanced many fold all over Africa. We have found that in Africa, the shortwave is the way to broadcast. The countries there are so volatile, they're so insecure that broadcasting by AM or FM radio is not more, in the big cities they have some of that, but basically all over the hinterlands of Africa they listen by short wave, and so we have access to about a million people in Africa, particularly from these three new facilities in Germany. Well, then we're broadcasting into India, and we've been broadcasting into India from Taiwan. And again, we're reaching a good part of India. We broadcast both in the Hindi language, which is the most dominant language of India. About 400 or 500 million people understand Hindi. And we broadcast in the English language because that is the business language. That's the language that all the commerce and trade, all the shopkeepers and so on understand English. But we heard that Saudi Arabia, now Saudi Arabia is totally Muslim. We heard that Saudi Arabia they had some facilities that potentially were going to be for rent. There was an English firm that had made the contact, and we had to work through them. But we immediately contacted them and said, you know, and Saudi Arabia, where these antennas are located, are way on the east tip of Saudi Arabia, so that it's fairly close to India. So that from there we can get a much better signal into India, a much better signal. And so we contacted them. Could we have 2 hours prime time in the India? That prime time means the best listening hours, when the signal is the strongest, when everything is as ideal as possible. And they said, well, of course, you're Christian programming. I don't know how that'll sit with the Saudi Arabian government. You know, they're pretty dominantly Muslim, of course. But after a month, the approval came through. And so now we are broadcasting into India from Saudi Arabia. It just seems like everything that we move toward, it opens up. I'm telling you, my personal life is a life, I'm walking on cloud nine all the time, because I never know what else is going to open up or how it's going to be. When we began to broadcast from Lesotho into the South Africa, that 100 kilowatt facility has a range of 500 miles, so then you draw a circle that's 1,000 miles in diameter and center it right at Lesotho, and we cover all those to all that land with AM radio, 7 hours every night, prime time. And I'm going down to visit them in order to further establish our relationships. They're dear people. They're wonderful people. They're cooperative. And one of the neat things is that wherever we're going, they're listening to the open forum. When I go to Taiwan, a lot of those people get the open forum. If they don't get it by radio, they get it by internet. And so they're listening. At least I can name three people there who have really come to know Christ, who are really now very, very, very much solid Christians, or at least not solid, let's say, at least they're early Christians, and they love the Lord. And when I went to Lesotho, none of them were Christians, none of them were at all, but boy, what a respect again. I mean, and of course it helps that they hear my voice on open forum, because now they meet the man, and God happens to use that. I'm a nothing. I don't amount to a hill of beans in the eyes of anybody, and that's the way it ought to be. And yet God has used that in order to further the relationship that we have with these countries. Now I can go on. You know, as I look at the staff that God has given us, oh my, you know, we have a very tiny staff. We're broadcasting over 40 stations and 100 translator stations, and we're broadcasting all over the world from Taiwan and you name it, and you would think, boy, you must have a huge staff. In fact, people have come to me and they've said, now look, you had an open door to Taiwan. How big a department do you have that does that advanced work? You're broadcasting all over South Africa, South America by AM radio. You must have a department that goes down there and makes contacts and works that out. And we tell them honestly, we don't have such a department. We have nothing. We have nothing. We're just all doing our work of broadcasting, and we hear about something and we go to work on it a little bit, and the next thing, it is reality. So that in most of the major cities of Central and South America, we're broadcasting by AM radio for an hour or two every day. As well as shortwave all over South America. And how is it all happening? And then I look at our staff, and God brings us engineers and people who are computer experts or who are producers or whatever. I look at our staff and I think, oh, what a bunch of honeys we have. What a fine group of people. They're all committed, and because they are committed, they go the second mile, and they're really concerned that we do our very best. And our staff, the number of people has not grown in the last 10 years. But because we keep on the cutting edge of all the electronic improvements, what the computer will do or internet will do or whatever, we're able to do more and more with less and less. So, for example, when we broadcast to mainland China, we take that 24 hours of programming and it's programmed there in our studios in Oakland, and by very, very tiny staff, and no one touches it. Our engineers have been able to figure out how to get that signal over there to Tohu in Taiwan, and it enters into the transmitter there with no one touching it in between. In the old days, you know, we'd have to put it on a tape, we'd have to send the tape, and someone had to run that tape and make sure that it got on in the right time and so on. It's just instant. It goes on. And we can hear the program that is going over there. We can hear it back in Oakland to monitor to see whether it's really doing what it's supposed to do. I don't know anything about computers. My office is the only office that doesn't have a computer in it. I'm the only computer illiterate person in family radio. Everybody else is literate because we use computers all over the place, and we have a marvelous computer department, and when a computer goes down, we have somebody there right there to fix it and so on. Well, you know, this is God's work. We're not that smart. There is no possibility that all these doors could open if it depended on human ingenuity. When I ran my construction business, I learned that, I'll tell you, you can put your best brains to work and you're going to work out and get that job and so on, and 90% of the time it goes down, just like that. But in Family Radio, we just sit back and watch God work. We just sit back. We hear something, and we send somebody out to take a look, and the next thing, something is happening. It's all going together. I don't know what else God will do. We got some other irons in the fire, and I don't like to talk about things that are not realized. We first have to. Because I don't know what God's will is. I don't know what God's will is in any case. And until it's a finished product, then we can talk about it as the fact that you see how God has opened this up. Well, we have a lot to be thankful for. We have a wonderful God. We have a wonderful God. And our wonderful God has given us a wonderful book. A wonderful book. This is the key. This is the key. Stay with the Word of God and pray that whatever you read there that is pertinent to your life or pertinent to my life, we're going to be obedient to it. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we come to Thee and we thank Thee that we've been able to just reminisce a little bit about what Thou hast done. And, oh Father, we give Thee the honor and the glory. Because, oh Lord, we know full well that we don't have those kind of brains. We don't have that kind of savvy or intellect. We're just ordinary people trying to do Thy will. And Father, yet we know when Thou dost undertake, then great and wonderful things can happen. And they do happen if we will only remain obedient to Thee. Now, Father, we know that the potential for pride is there all the time, and Thou dost resist the proud. We're fully aware of that, and therefore we beg of Thee, we beseech of Thee, that if any pride begins to show up in our lives, Thou wilt beat us down, Thou wilt chastise. We pray that we may walk very humbly before Thee, giving Thee all the praise and the glory. And Father, we know too that the only gospel that we should be sending out to the world has to be the truth from the Bible. And therefore, Father, we beseech of Thee, we beg of Thee, we implore Thee that if there's anything that we're teaching that is not altogether faithful to Thy word, that Thou wilt chastise us, that Thou wilt correct us, that Thou wilt will grab hold of us and straighten us out as Thy Holy Spirit works in us to will and to do of Thy good pleasure. Oh, Father, we thank Thee that together, all of us together, as we send in our support and take part in this grand and glorious venture of sending this precious life-giving gospel to the world, that we can have such an integral part of it. We know that each listener who sends in their contribution, we know that they, by that action, and as they pray for it, by that action, they too are a part of the latter rain as we are bringing the gospel to the barbarians of the world, those who do not know the meaning of the word now, but who are being brought to the fire, that is, they are coming under the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank Thee, oh how we praise Thee, that the beast, Satan, cannot interrupt. He cannot stop this work. We have no fear of him whatsoever. Oh, Father, we thank Thee for that security. We thank Thee for that comfort that we have. Bless us now as we return to our homes, wherever they may be. We thank Thee for these days we've had together. In Jesus' name, amen.